The Word of God comes to us this morning from Matthew's Gospel, where we've been for some time now. Today we're in the 7th chapter, beginning in the 7th verse. I would tell you that God always has a sense of timing. I didn't know way back at the first of the year when I planned this particular series of sermons that's now 19 weeks into the Sermon on the Mount that this passage would be on this day about stewardship, that ask and it will be given thing. So hear the word of the Lord for what it's worth. You know, the Lord planned it, not me. So. Ask, and it shall be given you. Search, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened for you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who searches finds. And for everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Is there anyone among you who, if your child asks for bread, will give a stone? Or if the child asks for a fish, will give a snake? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask Him? It's the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Many, many of you I know, you know and have met Jennifer Brookins, our beloved administrative assistant, who, among all the other things she does for us back there behind the scenes, oftentimes you don't ever see her because her office is way in the back, but you see all her work, all the publication stuff that comes out, that she's behind all of that. Many of you have been praying for her. You may know that she's recovering from surgery and going to be out a little while longer, so continue to pray for her. It's been a really frightening and uncertain time, the surgery she's been through, so keep her in your prayers. But if you've been back to her office, you might have noticed that on her desk there's a red plastic button. It's about this big around. It sits on her desk, and on top of it has two letters, N-O. And if you mash that button, it says repeatedly, no, no, no. Now, the children that come to her office love that button. And when they come to her desk, they love to mash it repeatedly. You know, it gets to be children's favorite word sometimes. No. And they'll say it over and over. Well, every once in a while, somebody will remind me that maybe I need one of those buttons on my desk. But it's a humorous reminder for us that Jennifer, like many of us, sometimes find it hard to say no when we're asked to do something. Now, there are some people who act like that is some kind of a character flaw. That those of us who have trouble saying no when we're asked are just too high on the pleaser scale in our personality profile. That we have too great a need to be liked. That we fear rejection or criticism if we say no. I mean, they act like those of us who feel compelled to say yes when we're asked to do something have something wrong with us. Now, I don't discount the fact that there is something to be learned from such assessments. I can even accept that there may be a little truth in some of those things. But maybe what those critics fail to take into account is the power of asking in the life of discipleship. You might remember a few weeks ago in the Sermon on the Mount, chapter 5, Jesus says, give to anyone who asks of you. So, responding to being asked is a part of discipleship, right? But you could also argue that there is a general power of asking that is really a universal reality, a spiritual truth that impacts almost everyone, not just followers of Jesus. Well, what I'm saying is that all of us are wired to be responsive to being asked. I mean, for one thing, we're made in the image of God, right? And in the image of God, one of the things that means is that we're made to be in relationships. And when we're in relationships, that means we're made to give, to help, to please, to bless others that I'm in relationship with, to be responsive to the requests they make of us in relationships. In other words, we're all made with a heart that is wired to give. And so when we're asked, we naturally feel compelled to respond. Those who seem wired only to take and not give are not evidence contrary to this truth. They are merely evidence of the fall of sin and the distortion of God's image in us. Now, undoubtedly, it may also be true that some of us who are so wired to giving do find it difficult to ask. But that's a different problem, one that we have to look at in a different time. But nonetheless, you might think about asking this way. Think of it as an act that unites people. Asking connects people to one another. Because to ask or to be asked respects a person's freedom. And it also acknowledges a person's value, that I need you or you need me. To understand how that feels, in your mind, compare the experience of being asked with the experience of having a demand placed upon you. Now, instead of connecting, demands almost always separate people. Demands create an instinctive resistance, sometimes even a resentment, because it discounts my freedom. It devalues me with this expectation that what you want doesn't really matter. Only what I want is what matters, and you're only there to meet my need. I mean, once again, to understand the power of asking and how it affects us, think no further than our own experiences of sometimes going out of our way to avoid being asked. Don't you ever do that? You know, you're walking through the park, you know, you see the homeless guy sitting down there on the bench. And I decide that I'm going to walk out of my way, not really because I'm afraid of this homeless guy, but because I know all I got in my wallet is a 20 today. You know, not a one, or a couple of ones. Or maybe just avoiding to being asked to serve on something, or to go somewhere we really don't want to go. We might avoid somebody because we know they're going to ask us to go and we really don't want to go. And maybe it's just a friend asking us to go somewhere, or even someone's going to ask us to go on a date. I mean, even watching TV, I can admit, I will turn that channel when those commercials come on with all those pitiful animals that I know out there that need help, and I know they're about to ask me for some money, and I'm going to feel really guilty if I don't send some money in. I mean, Dallas Willard even suggests it's why we hate to sit and eat with our begging dog at our feet, because we know we feel guilty about not giving them something, and so we do. We feed them from the table. To be asked and to say no, for a lot of it creates a sense of guilt in us, even if we have no reason to feel guilty about saying no. It just does. It's the compelling power of being asked. This natural compelling we have to respond positively to a request. Unless, of course, our heart has become so scarred and hardened that we no longer feel this divinely created urge to give and to bless when someone asks us. We reach that point, we may be in some kind of spiritual trouble. When it comes right down to it, it's why we teach our children to ask. I mean, to say please and to say thank you, it's not just about being polite, because here in the South we have manners and we're going to be polite. We're teaching our children how to be in healthy relationships, asking and giving, asking and receiving. We're teaching them how to mature as human beings. And if we're raising our children in the Christian faith, we're teaching them how to follow Jesus, how to be in a relationship with God, and how to be in a relationship with our neighbors. And it's based on respecting God and others enough that we ask, we seek, and we knock. When it comes to wanting something from them, or even wanting something for them. I mean, this teaching from Jesus on asking, seeking, knocking comes in this section that we've been looking at over the last 2 weeks, that you could say is something about how not to act in relationships with others. Remember, first 2 weeks ago we talked about not judging as a means of correcting people or straightening them out by taking the speck out of their eye, right? Last week we talked about not trying to force onto people what we think they need to solve their problems, disrespecting their freedom, and using the power of manipulation instead. Jesus says, on the other hand, to be in healthy relationships with people, when we desire their good, when we desire even a change in their life that's for their good, then we should begin with the compelling power of asking, seeking, knocking, which is very different than manipulating people with guilt or obligation or contempt. I mean, think about those images Jesus offers here. Ask, seek, knock. I mean, unless we have a very close personal relationship with somebody, we usually don't just barge right into a door, right? We typically come to a door that's closed and we knock. We're humbly asking if we may come in, that we desire to spend time with you or to see you or to speak with you. I mean, seeking means that we care enough to not let something be lost or someone, to take the initiative, to take time, effort, energy to go and look, to seek you out. And to ask humbly approaches with the attitude that you don't owe me anything. but that you are valued and that you are needed. So whether I'm asking because I need your help or because I want your good, at the same time, I'm respecting your right to say no and resisting the urge to punish you if you do say no. Because if I do that, I wasn't really asking to begin with, was I? I was just demanding, cloaked in a question. It's sort of like we have to do with our children sometimes. Like, don't you want to get your shoes and socks on so we can go out? It's probably not a question, right? One of the concepts Jesus repeatedly talks about is how we reap what we sow. What he's talking about is there is a natural or even a divine law of reciprocity. He says things like, forgive and you'll be forgiven. Don't judge, you won't be judged. And now he says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened. All of these are forms of causation. They are action which bring a reaction. There are also things, if you think about it, asking, seeking, knocking, the response of which is not in our control. When we ask somebody, when we seek, when we knock, it puts the other person in control. It accepts that all we can control is the way I relate to you. Another way of thinking about what Jesus is teaching his followers is that we have to have the same humble approach with people that we do with God. I mean, after all, Jesus says to love God and to love our neighbor. And John, when he writes about this, says, how can we love God who we haven't seen if we don't love our neighbor who we see all the time? It's why Jesus is teaching in this section about how we relate to other people. And then he turns around and uses this same analogy, ask, seek, and knock, to talk about how we approach God. To teach us about prayer and relating to God. That instead of judging or forcing, that we ask, we seek, and we knock. We ask God to do something in the life of someone that we care about that we can't do for them or to them. At its heart, prayer is just that. Prayer is asking. It's seeking. It's knocking. I mean, we sometimes think prayer should only be things like praise and thanksgiving. And maybe those are means of knocking. You know, the psalmist says, enter his gates with thanksgiving, his courts with praise. A form of knocking, you might say. But the reason that we ask, the reason we seek an audience with God, primarily is so we can ask. We ask for that which we care about, that we cannot control or provide ourselves. I mean, sometimes we think we shouldn't ask for God for things that don't seem to us noble enough or selfless enough. But Jesus' point really is that if we in our fallen sinful state know how to give when we are asked, how much more does our perfect Heavenly Father want to give to us when we ask? I mean, after all, if we don't think that prayer has the potential to change things, really, I mean, why do we bother doing it? I mean, the biblical idea of prayer is we expect our Heavenly Father to hear us when we pray and to at least consider our request. We don't just accept when we pray that everything is predetermined. I mean, certainly there is merit to prayer as a means of spending time with God, getting to know God in God's heart, finding solace in God's presence. But most biblical examples of prayer are examples of people who are approaching God and asking for something. Read the Psalms. Read about how Abraham negotiates with God. Read about how Moses intercedes on behalf of his people with God. Read about Hezekiah, who the prophet comes with a word from God saying, get your house in order, you're about to die. And Hezekiah asks. Ask for more time. And God gives him another 15 years. When we say that God is unchangeable, we are speaking about God's nature and God's identity. Even God's overarching purpose of redemption in the world, the restoration of His fallen creation, those things we might say are unchanging. But God's perfection is not defined as God's inflexibility. What I'm saying is God's intentions with regard to so many particular matters that concern you and I are not unchangeable. I mean, why else would Jesus tell us to ask, seek, and knock? And that the Father is even more responsive than us if God can't be changed by what we ask. We are created in God's image. If we're responsive to being asked what Jesus is saying is, how much more is God? Now, that being said about prayer, prayer is not some fail-safe mechanism by means which, if we speak the right words, like if we pray in the name of Jesus, or if we have enough faith, like as much as a grain of mustard seed, that we can guarantee the successful outcome of my request. Prayer, as asking, seeking, and knocking, is a part of a relationship. Whether that relationship is with other people or with God, it respects other people's freedom. It respects God's freedom, too, to say yes or to say no. I mean, it's like parents with children. The response to being asked is most often based on our understanding of their good when they ask. However, we also have to remember that sometimes when we ask, we have to wait for an answer. After all, in the context of this passage, what assumes that we're asking for is change in another person. That's what this whole chapter has been about. If we're asking for change in another person or even in ourselves, you know and I know, rarely does change in people happen instantaneously. Change takes time. Which is why Jesus teaches his followers here and in other places that when we ask, we should keep asking. When we knock, we should keep knocking. When we seek, we should keep seeking. The importance of being persistent in relationships and prayer. Remember the story that Jesus told about the widow who kept coming back to this judge asking for justice in her situation? And the story says that eventually the judge says, I'm going to grant her request so she doesn't wear me out with all her coming and going. Now the point is that God doesn't grant, the point is not that God will grant our request and just badger God long enough that God will get tired of hearing from us. It's not a perfect analogy, but Luke and Jesus both say the point of the story is simply keep praying, keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking. Ask humbly, ask hopefully, ask faithfully. He told another similar story about a midnight friend. He said a man came to a friend at midnight. He had a visitor who had come to town and he needed some bread to share with him. And he knocks on the man's door at midnight and says, could you loan me a loaf of bread to feed this visitor? And the man says, I'm already in bed. The door is locked. But eventually he gets up and gives the man a loaf of bread. Interestingly enough, the story says, not because the man's his friend, but instead because he asked. The power of asking, seeking, and knocking. Jesus' brother James, in his letter, comments a lot on Jesus' teachings in the Sermon on the Mount. And he comments at one place in his letter where he says, where do you think all our conflicts and disputes come from with each other? We want something, but to get it, we choose to manipulate or control or demand. Or we try to take something. He says, you don't get anything from people because you don't ask them. Or you don't ask them rightly or for the right reason with the right motive. So what Jesus is teaching here is that asking is the rule for relationships. And asking is the rule of the kingdom. And if we want something from someone or even for someone, for their good, maybe the place we have to begin, Jesus is saying, is asking myself. Have I been asking or have I been demanding? Have I been lovingly respecting their freedom? Or have I been manipulating them with judgment or trying to force on them my solutions to their problems? And then when I get past that, maybe I can start asking God to do for them what I can't do, to change in them what I can't change, and then to keep asking and keep seeking and keep knocking, humbly, hopefully, faithfully, even if it takes us a lifetime. Amen. Amen.